just 1 hour left. So we have 40 minutes together to meditate upon Krishna's appearance. And I thought I would do 3 different things. 1, recite a very nice verse where the demigods were also praying to Lord Krishna just before his birth. That's 1. 2, I want to teach you a verse, really easy. It's a take home. And then just some appreciation of Krishna's position within this verse by the demigods. So let's start with the verse that they'd like to share with you to learn. Many of you know, and those of you that aren't regulars here, you don't yet know, but it's very easy. This verse is the first of the Sri Brahma Samhita verses. Just 4 lines. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Real easy, right? So I'll say, then you say. Ishvara Parama Krishna.
Ishvara Parama Krishna.
Very good. We're 1/4 finished. Satchit Ananda Vigraha.
Satchit Ananda Vigraha.
Anadir Adir Govinda. Sarva Karana Karanam. Very good. Let's do it 1 more time. Ishvara Parama Krishna.
Ishvara Parama Krishna.
Satchit Ananda Vigraha.
Satchit Ananda Vigraha.
Anadir Adir Govinda. Karana Karanam. I bet you'd like to know what it means. Very nice verse. Sri Brahma Samhita was discovered by Lord Chaitanya when he was traveling in South India at the Adi Keshava temple, very deep in South India, south of Trivandrum. And when he saw and read the book, he began dancing jubilantly, in ecstasy, with his arms raised, just appreciating in this little literature the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is presented in a very compact form. And this first verse is, well, there's a technical term. It's the Paribhasya Sutra. It's the essence of the rest of the book, which I've already said is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is 18,000 verses. So that's a powerful verse. Powerful. Ishvara means controller. Like, I saw a whole big pile of shoes over there. Not pile, but like spread out nicely. And somebody's looking out for the shoes. That's the Ishvara of the shoes. And somebody's helping with the parking, and they're Ishwar of the parking. Somebody's the Ishwar of the kitchen downstairs, like that. Ishwara Parama, the supreme Ishwara, the Ishwara of all Ishwaras, the controller of all controllers. Who is that? Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna. So now, what else should we know about Krishna? Vigraha Vigraha means form. Just like we were doing the Abhishek here. The deity Kishore Kishori have Utsav Vigraha. Festival forms. Utsav Vigraha. So Vigraha means form. And Krishna's form is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. His form is of made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. You can't say that about this one. This isn't eternal. Far from it. And it's not inherently radiating knowledge. Far from it. And it's not inherently blissful. It has pains, I can tell you. That's why I'm sitting in a chair. I've got a problem in my knee and so on. But Krishna's form is Satchit Ananda Vigraha. What else should we know about Krishna? Anadir? Adir Govinda. He has no beginning, but he's the beginning of everything else. He who has no beginning is the beginning of everything else. Govinda. That's another name of Krishna. So, and then the last line. Sarva Karana Karanam. Karana means causation. You know, cause and effect. So he's the cause of all effects that later become a cause of some effect, become the cause of some effect. You know, scientists want us to accept that everything comes from a Big Bang. Right? Go to 8th grade science class and you'll learn that's where everything comes from. Kaboom! That's where it came from. And what was there before the kaboom? Anyway, they have their ideas. Sri Brahma Samhita says, Krishna, he's the cause of all causes. He is the beginning of all things that have a beginning, and he has no beginning. His body or his form is made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And he is the supreme Ishvara. That's Krishna. And we're very interestingly, we're observing his appearance day. He who has no beginning has an appearance day. We're celebrating. And so now, here's what the demigods, well, we say demigods, devatas. What are the devatas? The devatas are personalities who are responsible for controlling the affairs of the universe. They're very powerful. The rain, the sun, the wind, fire, all the elements, you know, 33 million devatas, that's a lot. And they have their people that are assisting them, so it's a big bureaucracy. And they're in charge of different things. And they derive their power, you'll hear this in just a moment, they derive their power from Krishna. Because he is the sarva karana karanam. They have some Ishvara power. They're controlling something. And they derive their power to controlling something from one who's the controller of all controllers of something. So here's, Krishna appeared, the reason that we're conducting this nice program until midnight, there's a good reason for it. It's not fanaticism. Krishna appeared at midnight. So around about this time, you know, 11 o'clock, At night, the demigods offered prayers. And here's one of them. And for those of you that are not from India, there's this word, satyam, satya. Satya means truth. And there's eight times it's said. So here's the verse. They're offering prayers to Krishna, who's in the womb of Devaki. They see Devaki. They know that Krishna is there because she is as effulgent as the sun. And normally she's not effulgent as the sun. It's because Krishna is within her womb. And so the verse is, or the prayer is, Satyam Vratam, Satya Param, Tri Satyam, Satyasya Yonim Vihitam Cha Satye, Satyasya Satyam, Rita Satyanetram. Very soon I will appear on earth. And he kept his word. Satya Vratam. You gave your word, you keep your word. You always keep your word. We trust in you. Right? In God we trust. We trust in you. You give your word, we trust it. Then, Satya Param. Satya Param. You're the highest truth. This is Vedanta. The highest truth is, according to Vedanta, that from which everything comes. I'll say it again. The highest truth is that from which everything comes. Whatever that is, from which everything comes, that's the highest truth. It's a different use of the term truth than, say the opposite of a lie. Like, my glasses case is sitting on the tabletop. That's a truth. It's not a lie. There's another sense of the word truth. In the Vedic sense of the term, in the Sanskrit term, truth. That which has its prior existence that other things are dependent upon the prior existence of that something. And that's a truth. The absolute truth is that which has nothing dependent upon it, its existence is independent and everything else is dependent upon it. That's the absolute truth. So Satyam Param. For those of you that like Sanskrit verses, I'll just recite. This is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1. And if you don't like Sanskrit verses, listen anyway, it's purifying. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Janmad Yasha Yatonvayad Itaratash Charteshu Abhigya Svarat Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavaye Muyantiyat Surayaha Tejo Vari Radam Yata Vinamayo Yatra Trisargo Mrsha Damna Svena Sadana Rastakuhakam Satyam Param Dimahi Satyam Param. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a Dimahi, it's a meditation on Satyam Param. And who is that Satyam Param? Krishna. The demigods are saying, you are that Satyam Param. You're Satyavratam and Satyaparam. And Tri Satyam. You exist in all phases of time, past, present, and future. Because time, this is a nice understanding, time is an energy of Krishna, and energy rests upon energetic. Just like there are these bright spotlights shining in my eyes. For you, it's nice, you can see me. And for me, it's I can't see you because there's too many bright lights. But the light is emanating from the source, or the sunlight that's in the universe. No, it's okay, it's okay. The sunlight that's in the universe comes from a sun planet. There's the energetic sun, planet, which spreads its rays throughout the universe, or at least our solar system, however you want to think of it. And so there's energy and energetic. Fantastic. There's energy, and there's energetic. And Krishna is the source of the energy. He's the energetic. Everything, past, present, so time is one of his energies. Time makes everything happen, and he's the source of time. But he's not influenced by time, because he's the source of it. So therefore, time doesn't influence him. He doesn't get old. Wouldn't that be interesting? Don't get old? It is described that when Krishna was performing his pastimes on earth, he remained for about 125 years, and his body looked like a teenager. Specifically, 16. He never got older than 16, although he was 125. Didn't have any gray hairs. Didn't have any dental work. No bone replacements. Because his body doesn't even have bones. His body is fully spiritual. For us, there's a gross body, it's got a skeleton that everything hangs on, and then there's a subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and then there's a soul that's animating both. But for Krishna, there's no outside and inside. There's no soul animating the body of Krishna. The body of Krishna and Krishna are the same. Very different. That's Sachit Ananda Vigraha. That's the difference between him and us, or one of them. His body is fully spiritual. Our body is temporary. A covering of the soul. And the fourth satyam, satyasya yonim means he is the original truth. The original truth. So, I'm going to, I hope, help you appreciate this Sri Brahma Samhita. I've been since January, a little confession. I've been studying this book with a plan to present it in around Thanksgiving time. And it's been a real blast. It's really nice because it's so uplifting. Just the sound vibration of it and the message of it, and it's purifying up that kind of uplifting. So I want to just share with you five of the verses. Again, I was thinking specifically of the audience this evening. They're Sanskrit verses. And they're appreciating in further detail how Krishna is the source of everything. It goes into detail. There's some part of everything and how Krishna is within that some part of everything. Everything. The comparison is like the sky. You'll find this in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The sky is outside of everything. So like, here's a glasses case. The sky is outside of the glasses case. But according to the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, within the solid elements, there's also sky. Subtly present. You with me? We'll do it this way. Okay, fasten your seatbelts. We're in an airplane. We're going to take off. And down the runway we go. Zoom, 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 zoom. You were on the ground, now you're in the sky. And then there's clouds in the sky, and you pass through the clouds in the sky. And you look out the window, you don't see the sky, you just see clouds in the sky. And then you get a little bit above the clouds, and you just see sky. Right? So while you're in the clouds, you're also in the sky. And then above the clouds and below the clouds, but in the sky. So, similarly, Vedic teaching says subtle element of sky contains the grosser elements. There's water vapor, there's the airplane, solid objects, but they're also in the sky. In fact, all those more gross elements are resting in sky, and sky is within them. The sky is also outside of them. Got it? Similarly, everything rests in Krishna, but he's outside of everything. Everything rests in Krishna. It's his energy. But he has his own personal existence. He's not, you know, circuit overload trying to keep track of everything that he's the controller of. It's done through the agency of his potencies, and he's simply enjoying in the spiritual world. So here's some very nice verses, and he's making his appearance in about 40 minutes. At least on the altar we'll be seeing him. And over 5,000 years ago, he made his appearance in a very unique way, in a prison house. In a prison house. God, who is beyond the material creation, the source of the material creation, makes his appearance in a prison house. Pretty cool. As the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he who has no mother and father accepts a mother and father. He accepts them because of their love for him. It's a lila, it's a pastime. It's an exchange of love. The son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Okay, so here's just a few verses from Sri Brahma Samhita that are just taking this understanding that Anadir, Adir Govinda, he's the source of everything, and he has no prior source. Whenever we have official ceremonial functions, we recite these verses. So here's now the meaning. Ramadi murtu shukalani amena tishtan nana vaktara makaroru vaneshu kinto krishnak svayam samabhavak paramak pumanyo govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. This verse is saying that forms of the Lord from the spiritual world appear in this world. The word is avatar. They used it in the title of a movie. But the word means forms of the Lord as they descend in this world. And those avatars of the Lord, they're unlimited in number, such as Rama, Nrisimha, Varaha, etc. Just like on the back, as you walk out the temple, you see Lila avatars, 10 of them, across the ceiling, or above the doorway. Krishna is the source of them all. This is the statement of Sri Brahma Samhita. They're expansions of him. He appears in this world, and they also appear in this world by his arrangements. Here's another very nice one. Goloka namni nijadamni tale jatasya devi maheshu haridama soteshu teshu te te prabhava nichayavihi tashchayena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The verse is describing the different setup of cosmology. There's Devi Dham. That's where we are now. The verse says above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva. And above the abode of Lord Shiva is Haridam. And topmost of them all is Goloka Dham, the planet where Krishna resides. So he invests potency or authority for the personalities who preside there and reside there and perform their various services unto Govinda, because he's the Adi Purusha, the original person. Here's another very nice verse, speaking of Durga. She's referred to in this verse as Chaya Devi. Chaya means shadow. I'll read the verse. Shristi stiti pralaya sadhana shaktirekha chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga ichchana rupam api yasya chateshtate sa govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Durga is very powerful. She's the manifestation of the expansion of the Lord's internal potency. Gee, if I had an hour or so, I'd get into it, but I don't. There's a very nice description in Srimad Bhagavatam as well as Sri Brahma Samhita, where during the time of cosmic annihilation, Mahavishnu is in a state of mystic slumber, yoga nidra. And all the living entities are within him in a state of susupti, means like anesthetized. Their consciousness is anesthetized, suspended consciousness. He desires, out of compassion, that they become fully, they get the opportunity at least to become fully conscious again. And he sees at a distance the reflection of his own internal potency. Her name? Chaya Devi. She's the reflection of his internal potency. And he's feeling compassion. He knows that she wants some service. She doesn't have anything to do. So he gives her something to do out of compassion. He sends the living entities to contact this Chaya Devi. And the time energy along with the living entities activate this dormant Chaya Devi, and she becomes very active. And so many things happen in sequence. So she then, through her being empowered to do so, she helps create, and when the time for annihilation comes, she annihilates, and the whole cosmic manifestation is withdrawn through her assistance. But she does so under the agency of Govinda. And here we are, and it's, you know, life is going on. There was a time when it was dormant, and there's going to be a time when it's going to be finished. There's the agency of material nature working because of the original cause, the personality of Godhead Krishna. And I'm only going to speak one more. There's several more. The purpose of going through this exercise is, well, it's a few things. This is a wonderful literature, and I like it. It's teaching not only that God is the creator, and so because he's the creator, we should worship him. That's there, but detail and how he's present in everything. There's a description of the sun's movement. You know, our Western picture of cosmology is the planets of our solar system are moving around the sun. But the Vedic wisdom says, in addition to that, the sun is on its orbit too. The ecliptic plane, the sun is moving It's the end of August. So sometime around the middle of June, it's when days and nights are equal length. And then it starts going down. The sun starts going down to the southern hemisphere, where the days get shorter and the nights get longer. And it reaches for the northern hemisphere when the days are the shortest and the nights are longest. But then Makara Sankranti comes. Very nice holiday. And the sun starts moving in the northerly direction. And then it again passes the equator and it's equinox, the days and nights are equal. And then it comes into the summer solstice. Like that, the sun is, as the planets are moving around the sun is moving also in its orbit. And Sri Brahma Samhita says, the sun is doing so under the order of Govinda. Again, that's a whole hour-long discussion, the detail of Vedic cosmology, at least. The message is, the person who were honoring his appearance day, he has a place in everything. There's one other verse that says, just as the sun has its radiance, so some tiny portion of the sun is within jewels that are also radiant, like the glittering of jewels. Where does that, there's a particular jewel, Surya Kanta. It radiates luminous light, but it's just a portion of the light of the sun. And similarly, the sun is just a portion of the luminosity or of Krishna. He's the basis and support of everything. And we're honoring his appearance in this world, because when he makes his appearance in this world, this which is a place of darkness becomes a place of light. A place of forgetfulness becomes at least an opportunity for remembrance. On the other side of false ego is our real identity. And a real identity is that there's an eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And this is a wonderful opportunity. We've had so many people come in the course of the evening, come and go, probably going to other temples as well, but to honor the appearance of Krishna. And by, as we've been doing the whole evening, seeing the deity form of Krishna, singing the holy name of Krishna, hearing the words of Krishna, the teachings about Krishna, and so forth, our dormant consciousness of Krishna becomes awakened. And as our dormant consciousness of Krishna becomes awakened, then within the heart, the presence of Krishna can be perceived. Just end with this, a very nice message again from Brahma Samhita. When the eyes are smeared with the anjana or the ointment of prema, then within one's heart one can see the personality of Godhead appearing. Actually, our Bhagavad Gita teaches us that Krishna is already within the heart. Already within the heart. But our attention is elsewhere, so we don't see Krishna within the heart, we see matter. And think, what are different ways to try to become an enjoyer of it? This way and that way, and mix it around and try it different ways and be the enjoyer of it. Because of that distracted attention, we're not paying attention to Krishna within our heart. But when love for Krishna becomes awakened by this process of hearing and chanting and worshiping and praying, the purification takes place, and the natural condition of love for Krishna awakens, and then one can see him. And so in a short while, he's also going to appear at midnight, and we'll have a nice aarti to receive him. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.